On November 4th, United Nations General Assembly adopted Russia's draft resolution on combating glorification of Nazism, neo-Nazism, and other practices that contribute to fueling contemporary forms of racism, racial discrimination, xenophobia, and related intolerance. And this resolution was supported by 105 countries. 52 were against it and 15 countries abstained. That means they took the middle way. You will notice United States, Ukraine, Australia, Austria, Canada, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Japan, Italy, New Zealand, Norway, Poland, Sweden, and then United Kingdom. Basically, all the European countries as well as United States allies have voted against this resolution. By the way, India supported and voted in favor of this resolution. Now, some of you might think it is obvious because of strong friendship that exists between India and Russia. But then there is more to it. Let me explain what are those. So basically, if you look at this resolution, it is about combating glorification of Nazism and neo-Nazism. For those of you who don't know what is Nazism, it is a political ideology that was propagated by Adolf Hitler's Nazi Party or National Socialist German Workers' Party. In simple terms, Nazism is also called National Socialism. This ideology gained its prominence right after World War I, that is in 1920, and went on till 1945, when World War II ended and Germany lost. Let me explain in brief how this ideology started. As you know, World War I started in 1914. It was fought between the Central Powers and the Allies. Central Powers mainly consisted of kingdoms of Germany, Austria-Hungary, and Turkey, which was then called the Ottoman Empire. And the Allies consisted of mainly France, Britain, Russia, Italy, and Japan. United States joined towards the end of the World War I in 1917. So during World War I, Germany was called as German Empire and it was ruled by the German Emperor, Wilhelm II. Now you have to understand this. During that time, the Jewish population was spread all over the Europe. Jews lived in Russian territory, German territory, Austrian territory, even in French and British territory. Jews even migrated to the United States. At the outbreak of the First World War, Jews had to demonstrate their loyalty to their respective countries. However, their loyalty was always questioned by the respective countries. Because if you see, Jews existed both in Russian side as well as in the German side. And both Russia and Germany were enemies. Anyhow, after the end of World War I in 1919, after Germany's crushing loss, there was a subsequent rise in anti-Jewish narratives or anti-Semitic narratives. With this narrative, Nazi Party was formed immediately after World War I in 1919. Adolf Hitler, a German army veteran, joined the Nazi Party in 1921. Nazi Party promoted German pride, anti-Semitism, and dissatisfaction with the terms of the Treaty of Versailles. Nazi Party also blamed the Jewish people for stabbing their back. They circulated this theory to gain political leadership in Germany, and that is how the anti-Semitism or anti-Jewish narrative gained popularity in Nazi Germany during 1920s and 30s. So the main crux of the Nazi ideology is that it promoted German pride, you can also call it nationalism. Along with that, it also promoted racism, especially against Jewish people, and the term that is used is anti-Semitism. That is the reason today if you say you are a nationalist, people in the Western countries go all crazy about it. They will immediately associate you with Adolf Hitler's Nazi Party. Being a nationalist is not at all a bad thing, it is actually a good thing. Nationalist means to have love, affection and respect towards your own nation. But then if you mix racism and other sort of extreme radical ideologies with nationalism, that is when situation starts to look similar to Nazism. So let me repeat again, being a nationalist is not at all a bad thing. People in the Western countries don't know the idea of nationalism. They always take it out of context. Anyways, now that you have understood what is Nazism, now the immediate question that may come in your mind is, alright, that happened 70 to 80 years ago. Why are we talking about Nazism today? Why is there a resolution being passed in United Nations? Well, this is where you have to understand that Nazism, the ideology, still exists today. If you remember the 2018 Chemnitz protests in Germany, that is a perfect example of rise of neo-Nazi movement. To understand Nazism in today's context, you have to first understand that Nazism of Adolf Hitler's time was an ideology that was aimed towards showing hatred towards a particular race, that is hatred towards the Jewish people or community. But in today's context, neo-Nazism can be called as intolerance towards not only race, but also religion, color, and the country they belong to, which is called xenophobia. So, you have to understand that intolerance arises due to politics, because that is how you create vote banks, classic divide and rule policy. So that is how neo-Nazi ideology is being defined today. Now the next question is why Russia had to draft a resolution on this topic, and that too in today's time when Russia is engaged in a massive war with the West in Ukraine. Plus, the Western countries are collectively calling Russia as an aggressor. You will notice that the Western media does not say it as Russia-Ukraine war. They call it Russian invasion of Ukraine. Of course, on the face value, it will look like Russian invasion because the war is happening in Ukraine's political borders. But then there is more to it than meets the eye. Otherwise, why would 105 countries support Russian draft? First of all, what you need to understand is that Russia is not at all interested in taking all of Ukraine. Russia is only interested in the regions of eastern Ukraine where there is a substantial amount of Russian-speaking population that exists. So basically, there is a territorial conflict between Russia and Ukraine. As you know, Ukraine was once part of the Soviet Union. After 1991, Ukraine became a separate country and declared itself as an independent country on 24th August 1991. If you see this map, Ukraine shares borders with both the European Union and Russia. But as a former Soviet republic, it has deep social and cultural ties with Russia. And Russian language is widely spoken there, especially on the eastern side of Ukraine. If you look at the eastern Ukrainian region, which are bordered with Russia, it has more Russian-speaking people. And that is very natural, right? If you go near the border area of any country or state, you will see that people from both sides of the border exist. Here also you will find both Ukrainian as well as Russian people. But then as we know, Ukraine was part of Soviet Union. Naturally, after Ukrainian ethnicity, Russian ethnic group is the largest. And needless to say, there will be more Russian-speaking people on the eastern region of Ukraine. With that, one more thing that is very common at border areas is that there will be groups who are both political as well as armed, who will have their own regional interests. That means there are political as well as armed groups in eastern Ukraine who are pro-Russian. Naturally, when politics is involved, definitely Russia will have its own interests secured. Now, if you look at it from geopolitics point of view, one should not be surprised if Russian political fraternity in Moscow support these eastern Ukrainian Russian-speaking groups. Because they consider these eastern Ukrainian Russian-speaking people as their own people. It is totally normal in geopolitics. Similarly, even Ukraine as a country has shown its political as well as military might in the eastern region. In 2019, if you remember, Ukraine had passed a legislation making Ukrainian as the only state and official language in Ukraine. Now, I'm not saying that they have banned other languages. But in the eastern region of Ukraine, where people do speak Russian, there massive clashes started happening. The language issue can make anyone hate each other and lead to additional friction in society. Compared to Russia, Ukraine is a comparatively a new political entity. So it's difficult for Ukraine to counter the Russian long historical influence. That is why Western liberal democracy is doing that job for Ukraine and giving the ideological support to Ukraine in opposing the Russian culture. And that's what led to the creation of neo-Nazi group who are called the Botsman Boys from Ukrainian Territorial Defense Forces, the Azov Battalion. This is the same militia that was once banned by the United States. The US Congress in 2016 passed a law in Pentagon which bans funding as well as banning any kind of military training activities of the Azov Battalion, naming it as neo-Nazi group. But then today it is part of the Ukrainian forces. And then in the year 2017, the United States had lifted the ban on this neo-Nazi group. Russian government have also said that the weapons that were shipped to Ukraine by United States were found in the hands of the neo-Nazis of the Azov Battalion. These groups have also conducted the Bucha massacre and they blamed it on Russia. Before this Russia-Ukraine war, for a long time, the opposition parties in the eastern Ukraine who were pro-Russians, they used to be jailed and suppressed. Many were even killed. And then during the Euromaidan protest in 2014, it was basically a civil unrest. A lot of Ukrainians who were pro-Russians, they were massacred, burned and killed. And that is when news got out that US Ambassador Victoria Nuland's phone was tapped, where it was revealed that she made a call to the US Ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Pyatt, regarding CIA's interference in Ukrainian state-sponsored death list, as well as making up the next Ukrainian government. This was a big evidence against the United States government. They had interfered as well as sponsored the 2014 Ukraine civil unrest. Plus, at that time, Joe Biden was the vice president, and today he is the president, who is continuing where he left. And then immediately after the 2014 civil unrest, Petro Poroshenko became the president of Ukraine. He was a member of the European Solidarity Party. That means he was a pro-American. In fact, the US government helped him to get in power. As soon as he became the president, Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, became a member of the board of Ukraine's largest natural gas company, Burisma Holdings Limited. I'll give you one more incident. In 2016, Joe Biden, along with other European and American leaders, together planned the removal of Ukraine's chief prosecutor, Viktor Shokin. So all these reasons are enough to suggest that United States was meddling in the affairs of Ukraine right from day one of 2014. So you cannot call Ukraine as a sovereign country. It has been a lapdog of United States. Russia had a very simple demand from United States, just stay away from Ukraine, that's it. But no, the West had to interfere. Russia's only concern is that if tomorrow American weaponry arrives in Ukraine, Moscow is 35 minutes away if you want to use Tomahawk rockets. And suppose if you want to use hypersonic missiles, Moscow is just 5 minutes away from Ukraine. Russia from day one has been saying to United States and NATO to stay away and do not interfere in Ukraine. So, if you see, Russia is protecting its motherland. If you really do your research and critically analyze all the situation, you will realize that Ukraine is not at all an independent and sovereign country. So the neo-Nazi group is very much active in the eastern part of Ukraine, and not just Ukraine, in many Eastern European countries. And these groups have been receiving protection from institutions and organizations that represent freedom, democracy, and human rights of the West. Whether you like it or not, United States government is the culprit of the current chaos that is happening in Ukraine. They have deliberately pushed the neo-Nazi power. Russia is not at all wrong when it said that the Western countries' military weapons are being found in the hands of neo-Nazi soldiers of the Azov battalion. If you remember, on May 9th of this year, Zelensky had posted a photo of a Ukrainian soldier who was wearing a Nazi insignia. In fact, NATO has also shared an image of a Ukrainian woman soldier wearing Nazi insignia. What else do you want in believing whether neo-Nazi group exists in Ukraine or not, and whether United States is supporting them or not? What the US government does not realize is that this thing is backfiring on their country as well. If you can recall the mass shooting that happened in Buffalo, New York on 14th May 2022, an 18-year-old white male gunman wearing military-style clothing, sporting a rifle and body armor, opened fire in a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, killing at least 10 people. And all the people who died, they were from the black community. The killer also left behind a 180-page manifesto outlining the so-called the Great Replacement Theory, which reeks of Nazism. And today, when Russia drafted resolution on this issue, United States and its allies have straightforwardly voted against it and rejected it. And you know why they rejected it? Because most of the hate crimes, racial discrimination, religious intolerances happens in these Western countries. Have you heard of the term white supremacy? It is not at all different from Nazism. White supremacy means superiority of white race, and it is a neo-Nazi element. So this is the reason the Western countries did not support the Russian draft. Because they know that if they support it, on top of it, it is a United Nations resolution, then automatically these Western countries have to forcefully accept that neo-Nazi group exists in Western countries as well, which they don't want to admit. But I'm glad that 105 countries in the world has supported it, including India. Let me also tell you what the other side said. So the Western countries who have voted against this resolution, their justification is that Russia is trying to justify its territorial aggression against Ukraine by using neo-Nazism as an excuse. So basically what it means is that there is a difference between Russia and the West on the definition of what actually neo-Nazism is. Always notice the Western media will never bring up the word race whenever there is a mass shooting in the US. They always say that the shooter was mentally sick or something like that. So the West intentionally, deliberately does not want to recognize the neo-Nazi angle. In fact, many people don't even know this. Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933. Before 1933, many of the foreign diplomats and nearby country leaders, they were already familiar with Adolf Hitler's intentions. I'm talking about countries like France, Britain, even United States. Plus, everyone knows that Adolf Hitler was not at all in favor of the Treaty of Versailles, which was signed at the end of World War I, and this treaty forbids Germany from developing offensive weapons. In 1935, Hitler revealed that Germany had developed an air force and was expanding its army. He used to openly say it. It was a major violation of Treaty of Versailles. Almost every political leaders as well as senior diplomatic officials of the European country knew about it. Even the American government was aware of it. Even France and Britain was fully aware of it. They could have taken military or economic actions against Germany in the very early stage itself. Basically, this whole World War II could have been avoided during the 1930s. The West had numerous chances to take decisive action against Hitler, but they did not. Somewhere the Western countries thought, as well as hoped, that the Nazi forces would attack the Soviet Union and other communist countries. It is because of poor Western leadership and their vested interest that allowed the Nazi ideology to grow. Even Winston Churchill has said this, there was never a war more easy to stop than the World War II. You can also think of it this way. As long as there will be a strong Nazi force in Europe, Britain and France, they will not dare disobey the United States. Even today, you will find many people in France openly sympathize towards Nazi sentiments. You will find the same thing in Britain as well. Even Canada and United States has it. That is the reason the Western countries have collectively voted against the Russian resolution on fighting Nazism. But nevertheless, 105 countries have voted in favor of it, which is why the United Nations General Assembly has approved this resolution on combating the glorification of Nazism. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.